Let's pray. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts not only be acceptable while we are in this place, but more importantly, when we leave this place. May the scripture that I read ring from our hearts. May those we encounter sense this scripture and know of your faithfulness and know of our faithfulness too. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3 and verses 17 through 19. Hear now the word of God. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. So, today is our first Sunday of our stewardship campaign with the theme, Stewardship, Faithful, Thankful, Joyful. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. Stewardship. It's that time of year that we dread. And apparently, some people knew we were going to do this, and they didn't come to church. Stewardship campaign time is just about as bad as the Lenten season. The Lenten season where we come face to face with our sinfulness, and we do that for about 7 weeks. It can put you into a downer after you figure out how sinful we are moving toward Easter. Most of us would like for it to be Advent every Sunday where we're singing the Christmas carols. That's what we want. Or maybe every Sunday be Easter, but every Sunday is Easter. And so why do we do this? Because we need to. Several years ago, we spent the time of trying to understand who God is. What do we believe about God, and what does God want us to be and to do? And we formed a committee that came up with a vision and mission statement. It was approved by the church council, and we've tried to live by it. The vision statement says where we are supposed to go, and when you put the mission statement with it, it gives us four things that we're supposed to be about doing if we're going to be the people God wants us to be. And this is what we came up with. Kingswood strives to be a loving community where all are welcome, the lost are found, and disciples are made for the transformation of the world. Those four action statements, or what we call cornerstones, are couplets. So the first one is, by being committed to passionate worship and discipleship, we are committed to worshiping together. We are worshiping where worship is a major part of who we are, and the worship of God is very important if we think of corporate worship. But it's also important for us to be about being disciples and making disciples, and so that we're studying. It's also individual and corporate in nature. We're also involved in radical hospitality, welcoming those who are outside who are coming. We want to be more than welcoming. But we're also about making sure that we're building a community within, that we care for one another. We need both. Then serving the greater good in ministry and mission. Ministry within the church and mission outside the church. And then sharing the good news both locally and globally. It's important for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ all over. And our budget should reflect this vision statement and mission statement. Everything that we do when we gather should reflect this mission and vision statement. And if we're not, we technically believe we are failing God in what God wants us to do and who we're supposed to be. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. So we try to underwrite a budget so that we can do these things and be the people that these are. It's been interesting through the years what the church collectively and the church as individual congregations have done to raise money. One of the two men decided this one. They didn't ask any women this what to do, but this is what they decided. We're going to sell pews. And so if you give enough money, you can get your own pew, and we'll put a plaque on the end of the pew, so it will be your pew. Because everybody wants their own pew, and since everybody wants their own pew, they want to tell people not to sit on their pew. And so if I give enough money, I can get my own pew. And then I have the right to say, you're sitting in my seat. Many years later, a woman came into the meeting and said, you got to stop that. We can't do that. Some listened and some didn't. But we don't sell pews anymore. We don't. At my last church, we had people who gave the money. They gave just money for a pew. And then wherever they put their plaque, their family still sat on that pew 50 years later. Now, when we remodeled the sanctuary and we got new pews, we took all the plaques off and then attached them to the end of an old pew and put it on the wall somewhere. But nobody had assigned seating anymore. Selling pews. When I was in the nursery business, I was asking this lady, I said, do you go to church? She said, yes, I go to Springfield Baptist. I said, you do? I said, you go often? She said, I go every week. I said, you do? She said, Lord, yeah. Before you join the church, they tell you you have to pay dues. Dues? Dues. Every member has to pay dues. And if you don't show up for church on Sunday, there is a deacon who comes to your house on Sunday afternoon and asks you for your dues. And everybody knows the deacon, and if the deacon shows up at your house, they know why the deacon's there. Now, the Finance Committee wants us to implement that. Do I have a vote? She also said before you join the church, you have to let them see a pay stub so that you tithe. I said, did you turn in one that after you'd worked a lot of overtime or when you were out 2 days of the week? They were serious. They were serious. The Roman Catholic Church in Augusta, they sell ads for their bulletins. They have ads across the bottom when you open it up and ads on the back. That's a novel idea. I don't know who all they do, but it was interesting to see the ads in a bulletin. Many, many years ago, the Methodist Church came up with this novel idea for stewardship campaigns called the Circuit Rider. Do y'all remember Circuit Rider? What you would do is you would take your community and divide it up in circuits. And what would happen is you would name a circuit rider for all the circuits. And on Stewardship Sunday, instead of people bringing their stewardship or their card, the estimate of giving card, to the front, there would be a circuit rider who would come to your house after church. And so they thought that just because they sent out an estimate of giving card and a letter or two, that everybody read those letters and wanted somebody to come to their house and ask for their pledge card. That is not the case. And what they would end up doing is find some young person and say, you need to be the circuit rider for your circuit. Okay. They would shame you into doing it. I did it once. It's amazing how many deaf people there are on Sunday afternoons of Circuit Rider Sunday. The cars are in the yard. You ring the doorbell. You could hear the TV running when you rang the doorbell, but it gets quiet real quickly. Or there won't be a car there at all. And after you spend 2 or 3 hours going around your circuit, and you might have one card, and you've been told where they could take that card when you take it back to the church. It was the most unpleasant thing I have ever done. I made the comment that if they want to do, ever who wants us to do that, they need to do that. I know of people who've been shamed into giving, made to try to make them feel guilty about giving. And none of those things work. Because I truly believe with all that I am, after 25 years of being in ministry and serving at least 2 years as the stewardship chair, the only thing that does work is asking people to pray, to ask God to lead them, to guide them, and seek what God would have you to do to grow closer with God into a deeper relationship. Because I believe with all that I am, for us to truly become the stewards of God's gifts and blessings to us, we have to start with faithful. It's understanding the faithfulness of God. That was a beautiful song. Absolutely. It speaks to the faithfulness of God. So how do we know that God is faithful? I think the way that I started understanding the faithfulness of God is when I began reading the Bible and I started seeing how God is at work in the lives of people throughout history. And that was okay. And that worked good to a point. But then I began to see people live out their faith and was encouraged. And you ask them the question, how do you do what you do in light of what is going on in your life? And they will say, because I experienced the faithfulness of God in my life. The love, the presence, the peace of God in my life. And the more that I look and see, I am able to understand that. And in seeing the faithfulness of God more and more, I have the ability to be faithful to God. And so we need, first and foremost, many times in different places, but the thing I believe we need to see more than anything else is pray that for the ability to have eyes to see God's faithfulness, ears to hear His faithfulness, and a mind that can conceive God's faithfulness in all creation. Because if you just look, if we have eyes to see, I have been... I don't know who in here is doing this, but I have really been following Brian Crabtree as he walks across France and Spain. Usually he walks in the morning. He starts about dawn. And some of the pictures he has posted on Instagram have been absolutely beautiful. I mean, beautiful. And the faithfulness of God every morning when the sun comes up, the beauty of creation is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. the love of God that we see and experience every single day in the lives of other people toward us, the love that we can see when we're kind to other people. God's faithfulness is unbelievable in the ways that we can experience His love, His grace, His mercy, His salvation. And so we need eyes to see and ears to hear, and we need to hear those things. Because that's what David experienced. He experienced His faithfulness, and in the faithfulness, he was able to praise God in everything. He truly is. Now, over the years, I have shared with you, June, and my story. And what I wanted, the way I want to tell the story this year has to do with the ability to see God's faithfulness. And in my case, we could see, experience the faithfulness of God, and our faith was growing. June's a lot more than mine at the time when we first got married. And we would give systematically. And then we began to give more and more and more. And the more we gave, the more of God's faithfulness we experienced and the more faith we had. Because if we gave all of that, we gave a little bit more and more, until the point we got to about 7% of our net income we were given to the church. And then they had a capital campaign to build a building, if you think of this church, the Community Life Center. But it was a Family Life Center, same difference. And so we gave, over and above our pledge, we gave, made a pledge for 3 years. And we gave a third of it each, the end of each year. And when we got to the end of the third year, we thought we should have been paid up. Amen? But as you know, here, that doesn't happen. So they said, we want everybody to give for 2 more years, what they were doing. And so we did for 2 more years. And thank God in Greyhound, it was paid off. And then we took that amount of money that we had placed to the building fund and started giving it in our pledge to the church for the general fund, which got us up to about right at 10% of our net income. Now, one of the things that happens if you're in the community of faith and you're talking with people who give, sometimes you'll get this conversation where they'll ask the question, are we supposed to tithe on the net or the gross? Now, if you look across the United States, the average amount of giving of a Christian church member to their church is about 2%. So there is not many people having this conversation. Do you give on the net, tithe on the net, or the gross? And I didn't know, and somebody, I said, what are you supposed to do? And they said, do you want to be blessed on the gross or blessed on the net? I wanted to be blessed on the gross. Now, me being the Pharisee that I am, since I was tithing on the net, if I got back a tax refund, y'all know what those are? I didn't know. We used to love a tax refund. But if we got a tax refund, I would tithe on the refund, okay? Because I am tithing on the net. But once I started tithing on the gross, I didn't have to tithe the refund because I'd already tithed on the whole thing. It was an unbelievable experience. I think y'all all need to try to experience that. But it has been amazing in our life as we have learned the tithing and the being faithful to God. God has been more and more faithful to us in ways that we can never imagine. The beauty of the faithfulness of God, and you can see it in other people's lives, and you can be an instrument of His faithfulness in the world. It's a beautiful thing when we do it. And so what do we do? What are we asking? My prayer for all of us, is that we will have eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind that can conceive more and more of the faithfulness of God in our life and in the life of this church. That we will experience his faithfulness, and then we in turn can be more faithful not only to God, but to each other. And in the process of that, I think we will join David in praising God in every situation. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your faithfulness, even in the midst when we're not faithful. So Lord God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind that can conceive. See your faithfulness and the faithfulness of others in our lives. May we be inspired, may we be encouraged in all that we do by these saints who live around us. May we help them and may they help us to be more faithful. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.